This is Toby Sumter with your Cross Politic Daily News Brief for Thursday, October 15th, 2020. Today, you'll hear about Hunter Biden's old laptop. Because who doesn't want to hear about that? And Indiana's Governor Holcomb extends Stage 5 state of emergency for another month because science. And the First Lady's statement on her COVID-19 experience. Remember, if you come across a news story you think we might need to cover, please send it to news@crosspolitic.com. We really appreciate you sharing articles and stories with us that may end up in our daily or weekly shows, news@crosspolitic.com. First up, Hunter Biden's old laptop. I wasn't kidding. The New York Post has received emails and videos recovered from a laptop that is suspected to have been formerly owned by Hunter Biden. In what is being described as a blockbuster story, Hunter Biden is shown to have set up a meeting between his Ukrainian business associates and his father, presidential hopeful Joe Sleepy Biden, who, of course, was vice president at that time. A computer shop owner in Delaware received a computer in 2019 from someone whom he can't definitely identify as Hunter Biden, but the contents of the laptop certainly point to it being his computer. Regardless, these documents are out there now, and they once again blow holes in the narrative Joe Biden has tried to spin about him and his son's dealings overseas. Remember, the elder Biden, Sleepy Joe Biden, has repeatedly said he was completely ignorant of his son's business connections in the Ukraine. Except also while being on record as doing some kind of quid pro quo with them.
Mr. Vice President, how many times have you ever spoken to your son about his overseas business dealings?
I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings. I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv.
Why is he on the phone with a foreign leader, trying to intimidate a foreign leader?
And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't.
You should be asking him the question.
I said, I'm not going to, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said. I said, call him.
This appears to be an overwhelming abuse of power.
I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion.
Trying to intimidate a foreign leader.
I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch. Got fired.
And everybody's looked at it and said, there's nothing there. Ask the right question.
So that now appears to be officially debunked by these newly revealed emails. Don't have anything to do with his business dealings? Hunter Biden introduced his father, then vice president, to a top executive at a Ukrainian energy firm less than the year before the elder Biden pressured government officials in Ukraine into firing a prosecutor who was investigating the company, according to the emails obtained by the Post and according to Joe Biden himself. The never-before-revealed meeting is mentioned in a message of appreciation that Vadim Pozorovsky, an advisor to the board of Burisma, allegedly sent Hunter Biden on April 17, 2015, about a year after Hunter joined the Burisma board at a reported salary of up to $50,000 a month. Dear Hunter, thank you for inviting me to D.C. and giving me an opportunity to meet your father and spent some time together. It's reality and honor and pleasure. That's actually how it was written, the email reads. An earlier email from May 2014 also shows Pozorovsky, reportedly Burisma's number three executive, asking Hunter for, quote, advice on how you could use your influence, unquote, on the company's behalf. The continued efforts to pretend that Hunter Biden wasn't involved in influence peddling has become laughable. This according to a story at redstate.com. This was a man who was making tens of thousands of dollars a month to sit on a board of a foreign energy company while he was setting up meetings between those associates and his very own father, who was vice president of the United States at the time. Aside from the emails, there are also pictures and videos showing Hunter Biden doing lewd activities, sexually and drug-wise. That's no surprise given his history. Of course, that's something that would be made a major story if this were a Republican presidential candidate. But these are Democrats, saith the Red State story. So this will all be swept under the rug, most likely. What we do know is that Joe Biden lied. He has met with multiple business associates of Hunter Biden and had to have known about what was going on. That he's able to escape answering questions about this is a travesty. as we move closer to Election Day. Steve Dace, old pal of Cross Politics Studios, summarized the New York Post bombshell story on Biden and Ukraine on Facebook Wednesday. One, the whole time they were accusing Trump of Ukrainian collusion, they were doing it. Two, a shady foreign operative literally put in emails to Joe Biden's son, how can you use your influence, which we're paying you for, to help us? And thanks for introducing us to the vice president, who then later did what they wanted him to do by using his leverage to get rid of the prosecutor looking into their business dealings a few months later. Remember, son of a gun, he's gone. Three, the whole time Trump was being impeached for pressing Ukraine to investigate shady Biden business dealings, the FBI was sitting on a laptop computer with prima facie evidence of such shadiness, all caps, and said nothing, exclamation point. That's exciting. A reminder, all the talks from this year's Fight Laugh Feast conference, Weapons for This War, are up in the club member portal. If you're a Fight Laugh Feast club member, you have access to all those talks. And if you're not a club member yet, what are you waiting for? Go to FightLaughFeast.com, become a Fight Laugh Feast club member today, support Rowdy Christian Media, and get access to all the talks. Doug Wilson, George Grant, David Bonson, Jeff Durbin, Glenn Sunshine, and more. Next year's conference has been scheduled for October 14th to the 16th back in Franklin, Tennessee. Next year's theme is politics of sex. From the news inbox, thanks to listeners for sending this in, Indiana will stay in stage 5 of its reopening plan for at least another month, saith Governor Eric Holcomb, announcing this Wednesday with a mask on, alone in his office, while it was trying to fall off his face most of the time. Holcomb said in his weekly coronavirus response briefing, all alone in his office with a mask on that was falling off of his face, that stage 5 would be extended through at least November 14th. That's because the election is on November 3rd, and by then we'll maybe know exactly what kind of fit needs to be thrown. The state's mask mandate will continue through that date as well, because science. 3 weeks ago, the governor moved the state into stage 5 with the mask mandate expected to end October 17th. However, Governor Holcomb decided to continue both the mask mandate and the stage 5 after an increase in the positivity rate, because the masks aren't helping. In less than a month, our positivity rate has moved from under 4% to where it sits today, 5.3%, Holcomb said, hyperventilating underneath his mask that does nothing. The level of COVID-19 spread has not been seen in Indiana since this spring. He noted record daily case numbers and hospitalizations are also concerning. Too many are ignoring science and rolling the dice, Holcomb said, while wearing a mask alone in his office that was falling off his face the entire time. He said stage 5 is not an excuse for indifference while wearing a mask alone in his office. He said while most Hoosiers are following the guidelines, that's not the case for everyone, as the mask again fell off his face. We see Hoosiers with a disregard for the health of fellow citizens, he said, all alone in his office with a mask falling off his face. It turns out it's children at our schools who are showing us how it's done, the administrators and the teachers. They're showing us how this can be done safely, Holcomb explains, while ignoring science that says that children are more likely to die of the flu than COVID-19. The actions of everyone determines whether our kids can stay in school or not, Holcomb threatened. It also affects the rate of those who are going homeless or hungry. The decisions of individuals can directly or indirectly cost lives. The numbers have everything to do with how many of us are and aren't letting our guard down, Holcomb said, sitting alone in his office with a mask on, letting it fall off of his nose again. State Health Commissioner Dr. Christina Box joined the briefing remotely to share that she and her daughter and grandson have tested positive for the coronavirus, even though they've been wearing a mask for weeks and months and years, because masks don't work. She said she's not experiencing symptoms, while her daughter and grandson are experiencing mild symptoms. Box worked with contact tracers to notify everyone she was in contact with of the diagnosis, because masks don't work. Governor Holcomb and other state officials will get tested Wednesday afternoon, also because masks are worthless.
Now, again, before I turn it over to Dr. Weaver, we're at the end of the first 3 weeks of stage 5, and I've made the decision to continue it for the next month, at least for now,
We will revisit our status in a week. I'll be right back here with Dr. Weaver next Wednesday at 2:30 with the latest updates. Again, the data will drive our decisions as we manage our way through this.
Driven by data, follow the numbers, science. What data exactly? The fact that more children die from influenza than coronavirus? What data? The fact that no reputable scientific study shows masks significantly reduce risk of viral spread? There's no scientific study. They help reduce bacterial infections, not the spread of viruses. The fact that even while you've had a mask mandate in place for weeks and months, and the spread of COVID-19 has increased, people, it hasn't helped. And while we're talking about data, could you please define for us what a state of emergency consists of? How many hospitalizations, how many deaths constitute a health emergency? And what about the recovery rate? And this is not just for Governor Holcomb in Indiana. This is for every state, every county, every city in the nation where any restrictions remain. You can't just keep saying the numbers, the numbers, the numbers. More positive cases. People. Recall the number of people recovering. And recall that it vastly differs from age group and demographic to demographic. At any rate, we did unveil the brand new Fight, Laugh, Feast magazine at our recent conference. Our Fight, Laugh, Feast magazine will be a quarterly issue that packs a punch like Mike Tyson. No ice. We don't water down our theology, so why would we water down our boxers? You know, men who box. Order a yearly subscription for yourself and then send a couple of yearly subscriptions to your friends who have been drinking lukewarm evangelical Kool-Aid box drinks. Every quarter we promised quality food for the soul, wine for the heart, Red Bull for turning over tables, and a boxing match. Our magazine will include cultural commentary, a psalm of the quarter, recipes for feasting, and articles and laughter punching each other. Happily. Annual subscriptions are $40. That's for four issues. Sign up. Enjoy our Fight, Laugh, Feast mag. Go to flfnetwork.com. Click on product. And then Fight, Laugh, Feast magazine. The First Lady published a statement Wednesday describing her COVID-19 experience. She said, quote, "I was very fortunate as my diagnosis came with minimal symptoms, though they hit me all at once, and it seemed to be a roller coaster of symptoms in the 3 days after. I experienced body aches, a cough, and headaches, and felt extremely tired most of the time. I chose to go a more natural route in terms of medicine, opting more for vitamins and healthy food. I encourage everyone to continue to live the healthiest life they can. A balanced diet, fresh air," hey, that means going outside, by the way, "and vitamins really are vital to keep our bodies healthy. For your complete well-being, compassion and humility are just as important in keeping our minds strong. For me personally, the most impactful part of my recovery was the opportunity to reflect on many things: family, friendships, my work, and staying true to who you are. I'm happy to report that I have tested negative and hope to resume my duties as soon as I can. Along with this good news, I want people to know that I understand just how fortunate my family is to have received the kind of care that we did. If you are sick, or if you have a loved one who is sick, I am thinking of you and will be thinking of you every day. I pray for our country, and I pray for everyone who is grappling with COVID-19 and any other illnesses or challenges. We're glad you're feeling better, First Lady, and God bless you." And agree, we should be in prayer for everyone who is struggling with COVID-19 or any other illnesses or challenges like it. This is Toby Sumter with Cross Politic News. Remember to send us stories and articles that you think we should cover at news@crosspolitic.com. You can find this in all our shows at crosspolitic.com or on our app, which you can download at your favorite app store. Just search Fight, Laugh, Feast. Support Rowdy Christian Media. Become a Fight, Laugh, Feast club member. Get a free t-shirt and access to all the archives from our first annual Fight, Laugh, Feast conference. Become a member at fightlaughfeast.com. Have a great day.